NZ On Air Music presents Long Player.
I'm Carl Stephen, and my album is All of Human Emotion on Microfiche.
Your new album is so hypnotizing and almost kind of sci-fi in a way, and that is definitely reflected in the name of your album, as you introduced it before, All of Human Emotion on Microfiche. Tell me why you went with this name for the album.
I suppose the name of the album comes from wanting to boil down something vast into something kind of small and organized and, yeah, systematic, you know, to an absurd extent. So the name's meant to be a bit stupid, but I guess that's what we're doing when we're, you know, creating an album on some level, is kind of like boiling down a whole bunch of drama and feelings, or a time in our lives or whatever, to, you know, a handy half hour listen, or a bunch of digital wave files or whatever. So yeah, it sort of went along with that for me.
And your work day to day is not creating your own albums and releasing them, but is in fact creating music for films and television. What made you decide to create your own album in the first place? And did your music portfolio for film and television have any influence on how you created this album?
I suppose my regular work, which is making music to picture, so yeah, I'm a screen composer, doing stuff for TV and film and so on. It's always an influence in how I make music for myself as well, just in that the techniques I have learned and the sounds I use and the sort of experiments and stuff sort of spill over into my own work. But the album is kind of the result of my conscious putting aside work and just doing something for myself. So it's very much just me going crazy, basically. Whereas my work, I have to, you know, it's very, very collaborative, which is something that's really nice about it. But there's a lot of other voices and perspectives and stakeholders, and on my own stuff, it's self-consciously meant to be just the antithesis of that. It's like, here I'm going to take a day and just do nothing but follow my own weird musical promptings.
Yeah, and I feel like you've already answered this question, but I'll just ask it anyway. What was it that you wanted to explore with this album? I know you've already mentioned that you just wanted to let go and make something of your own, but, you know, what were some of the other things that you wanted to explore, if there are any?
Well, I guess this is my first album that I've made just for me, by myself. Like, I've done lots of commissioned work, soundtrack sort of work, that some of which has come out in album form. And I've also, yeah, been lucky to be in bands and stuff and work with fun and great musicians doing stuff. So I guess the idea with this album was to just, yeah, be me zoning out. And it accrued over quite a long period of time. So there's a couple of years worth of tracks in there, because it's, like I said, it's just me when I'm taking a day off to freak out and make my own weird stuff. It's just gradually they started piling up, you know. So there was, you know, quite a few unfinished little random things. And once there started to be enough of them, yeah, I started to entertain the possibility that this could be an album. And Sun Return Records were very helpful in that process of sort of, you know, finding the stuff that related and giving me some motivation to finish them off, you know, because when you're just doing stuff for yourself, you can just keep fooling around for, you know, as long as you're alive.
Yeah. And speaking of, you know, the process and what related, the first song we are listening to today is The Message, which to me feels quite ethereal. Could you take me through the song and tell me what it's about?
The Message, in terms of its lyrical content, is just really about the phone, I suppose, and kind of reflecting on how, I think it's David Graeber who said that in the Cold War, future technology changed from being sort of labor-saving devices and became much more like surveillance devices. And I think in this song, I'm exploring the idea of our phone as just this thing that watches us and listens to us and gives us feedback about what we should be doing. And also it outlives us ultimately on some level, you know, the kind of intelligence that it is and can store information that, and it can store it for longer than I can store information and so on. So it's sort of like me versus my phone and being outlived by my phone that has surveilled me through the whole arc of my life. That's the kind of stuff I'm thinking about lyrically. And musically, I actually had the idea of taking the drum fill from that Phil Collins song In the Air Tonight, the da-dung, 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 blah, blah, and making phase music with it. So Steve Reich has made music by putting two copies of the same recording next to each other and then slowly sliding one or letting one drift out of phase, and it sort of creates these new combinations. And so I thought, wouldn't it be fun to do that with that drum fill? And I did that, and it didn't actually prove very interesting at all. And so instead I took that rhythm and put it on a couple of glockenspiels, da-dun-da-ding, da-dun-da-ding, da-dun-ding, and then let that drift out of phase 1/16th note at a time, and that's the whole basis of the song. It basically is just those two glockenspiel parts coming apart, and then they gradually work round to being in sync again, and that just ended up being 3-odd minutes, and that's the length of the song. So, yeah, those are the ideas behind it.
At the tone, record your message. Most likely, but it's a machine.
utterance and inscription is about language, and all of the lyrics in it are quotations from the philosopher Ludwig Wittgenstein. So it's all my favourite bits of Ludwig Wittgenstein talking about language, and they mainly come from the book The Philosophical Investigations. And then there's also a quotation from Kinkapisi in there where he is saying the lifestyle's in the speech. And so same sort of idea as Wittgenstein was getting at is in that old Kinkapisi track, Screams from the Old Plantation. And so, yeah, I was just exploring that and chopping up a lot of language when I was making it too. So there's me and there's other people, sort of vowel sounds and consonants and stuff, and then there's Shafu scratching on it as well, all the turntable stuff. So yeah, but it's just meant to be a reflection on a Wittgensteinian reflection on language and how it forms our perspectives on the world.
Uttering a word is like striking a note on the keyboard of the imagination. Our language can be seen as an ancient city, a maze of little streets and squares, old and new houses, and houses with additions from various periods. This surrounded by a myriad of new suburbs, with straight regular streets and uniform houses.
Tamaki 5000 is a song about Tamaki, Auckland, and particularly, I suppose, I wrote it when I was living outside of Auckland for the first time, but I'd always sort of, I'd grown up there and was born there and stuff, and so I was seeing it from the periphery for the first time, and yeah, seeing it as this big sort of human hive, I guess, where all these power lines lead and all the roads lead in, and yeah, all the traffic's going into it, and yeah, it's a big sort of human construction, obviously enough, but I'd never experienced it like that before. I'd always lived within it, and living within it growing up in the 80s in, you know, Auckland, the sort of colonial town largely run at the mercy of developers and stuff, you know, lots of buildings were all being knocked down. The history was being kind of erased in the 80s, and then lots of like corporate buildings coming up. It was this kind of churning, constant, developing, kind of weird, quite tough place. It was also a place where it was very easy to get beaten up and mugged and stuff. It was, yeah, there was something very hard about the place. And yeah, I guess it's the song is reflecting on, yeah, that kind of hard side of the city. The 5,000 in the title is sort of meant to give it this sort of futuristic vibe, like that movie from 1975, Death Race 2000. Yeah, so it's sort of, it's trying to explore Auckland as a scary, as a dystopia, I suppose. So there's something sci-fi about it, and the mood of that track with the speed of it. It's 166.6 BPM. It sort of feels like you're on the road at night driving into the city somehow. Yeah. But I think there are also, I think it's important to say, you know, I'm optimistic. I think there's positive futures for Tāmaki as well. And it's great to see those sort of taking over and overgrowing, you know, some of the nastier stuff that has been in the history of the place and so on. So it's like a god or something, you know, it has many names, many faces. Phase two is the last song on the album, and it's sort of the twin of Acoma Phase one, which is the first song on the album. And yeah, this is sort of, I was really just going down a rabbit hole in my mind with this one, but it sort of explores the idea of intentionality and lack of intentionality. So I guess passivity and activity And so first it starts with, you know, the creation of the universe by some sort of God, who then kind of just zones out and stops paying attention. And then it talks about humans coming along, and then we sort of zone out and stop paying attention. And yeah, just this idea of inertia and drift, which is the mood that just sort of fell out of the chords, which in turn fell out of just the synthesizer sound. That when I started playing with it, it all just kind of grew from that, and I felt like I had very little say in it. So yeah, I was totally passive in the construction of it as well, and the sounds and machines had a way more active part. Cold Daylight is a song. Wow, what is it about? I don't know if I really know. Yeah, it's kind of a sad reflection. It's bittersweet, I suppose. It's like the lyrics, which amazingly take 6 minutes to deliver, are just, it'll all be a whole lot clearer in the cold light of day. And then it just says cold daylight, cold light of day. And there's something both beautiful in that to me and also kind of sad, you know. It's about when a mystery is gone, or but the mystery can be something scary, you know what I mean, and so you're looking forward to daylight because the night has its terrors, but the night is also something magical. And yeah, in the cold light of day, it kind of can sort of bleach out that mystery and what's special in the night as well. So I guess I'm trying to allow for both of those resonances or whatever. And yeah, again, it's me sort of vibing out on the chords, and there were some bells in there that I played, and then I granulated them, as it's called. So I did some granular synthesis on them. So the bells are sort of broken into 1,000 shards, and then they're all sort of like playing at the same time. And I don't know, bells always make me feel kind of nostalgic somehow. I don't know for what. It's not like I grew up in a bell tower or something, but yeah, they just have a emotional impact. And so it's like being inside a bell or something.
Clearer. It'll all be. It'll all.
That was Long Player. Thanks, NZ On Air Music.